Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is the one and only
producer extraordinaire.
You hear him?
I'm here.
Pat.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, good morning. And the one and only, you know who he is. Man who needs no introduction. Affectionately known as Chris Cat.
Chris! Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. How are we?
Doing wonderful. Good. Wonderful. And it's chilly morning.
Oh, my goodness. Chilly it is. Chilly it is. But I do want to give some shout outs this morning. Craig. Oh, my goodness. It's so good seeing you, man. Active on the do. Just it's very, very encouraging.
Yeah.
And Pastor Steve out in Pittsburgh. Talk to us. Sending pictures of the snow. I mean, he's excited now.
Oh, it's snowing there now?
I don't know. I mean, I got it before. I don't know if it's today, but.
It's not snowing in Jersey.
Oh, it snowed all right. Yes, it did. It snowed and then it went away, but it did snow. It's just kind of like the best kind. You know, pretty for a little while and just leaves. And disappear. Sophia out there in Toys R Us. Boy, they are holding it down at Toys R Us. Toys flying off the shelves.
Oh, my bad.
And of course, Pastor Cindy out there in Lakeland. Well, of course, I want to welcome all of our VFN Radio listeners. Oh, my goodness, Sonny and Jeanette and Bud and Norma and Jan and Steve and Rodina and Vicky and Bob and Patsy and Jeff and Charlotte and Raymond. Oh, my goodness, every single day, I'm so encouraged that people are joining us. They're joining us for this conversation. They're joining us to be a part. And it's a great privilege and an honor for us to be with you every day as we do.
Yes.
But, you know, Chris, you know, I couldn't pass this one up today. You know, I try not to do this. I try not to go there because, you know, I don't want to beat a dead horse. I don't want to do that. That's not my desire. But you know, some things in life just make you go, You know, just some things just make you go,
Is that right?
I'm just wondering, why?
Do tell.
Your friend, your brother, the producer of VFN Radio. Is wearing that Saints Christmas gift yet again. Can you expound? Can you just share some wisdom with us on why? I mean,
because it's cold outside.
I can do that.
Oh, you're envious of him, huh? You wish you were.
Nothing about envy, brother. It's just, you know, when you're a true diehard fan,
it's all right, man.
Win or lose,
rain or shine,
you're out there.
Wow.
Even with the bags over your face, you're out there.
They lose a lot, so I guess if you only wore...
Hold on now. They don't lose a lot now.
Well, I mean, if you only wore it when they won, you wouldn't wear it often. So, I mean, I get it. Yeah, I understand, but... Okay.
Moving on.
I'll be nice. I'll just keep it moving. But you know, guys, I was having me on the internet the other day. And I came across this advertisement here.
Okay? Ad what?
I think advertisement.
Is that a word?
Can we look that one up?
It's an advertisement.
Can you define that?
It's advertisement.
Advertisement. We're just simple guys. Come on.
Yeah, man.
Don't use big words.
Someone told me that. I thought that sounds pretty cool. Advertisement. Actually, someone in the South told me that.
Really? Wow.
This is an advertisement. I said, okay.
They must have went to school.
I came across this advertisement, and I think America has a problem with food. What do you think? I mean, do you think that we like junk food?
Yeah.
I think so. To underscore this problem, to underline this issue with America and food, just in time for your Christmas shopping, just in time, they have come out with some interesting gifts. Now, you're not able to see this, but, you know, hopefully we want to make this available on the torch. But in case you were needing an iPhone case, a new iPhone case for your maybe iPhone 4, it looks like maybe.
All right.
You can actually order a case that's in the shape and looks identical to an ice cream sandwich.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it looks so real, almost looks edible.
Interesting.
Interesting. Hmm. Interesting. But you know what? If that doesn't move you, if that doesn't crank your tractor, as our our friends from Kentucky say, you can actually, you know, because you have a hard time sleeping. If you need to sleep better and get a good night's rest, you can always get, now they have this now, you can always get the fortune cookie pillow. The fortune cookie pillow that's huge, it's wrapped, and it even has a little message. I don't recommend that you read those, but it is available for you for your sleeping pleasure. My question is, I wonder who are the people that actually order these things and buy these things, but very interesting.
That is interesting.
Another gift, if that doesn't seem to just get you really, excited, you can order now. I love pizza. That's something that I enjoy. I love pizza. But I've never thought about wearing a shirt that looks like pizza. You got
not you?
See,
come on now. That's your favorite food.
Dude, this looks
don't you
disgusting.
Have one in your closet? I thought I saw one.
Yeah. This looks disgusting. This is a shirt. I mean, it looks just, it's a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you can see all the cheese. It's completely like yellow, I guess, like greasy pizza with huge pieces of pepperoni all over it. I mean, it's like.
That sounds good.
Yeah, someone, a dinosaur may come and eat you or something. I don't know. I was like, ugh. But it sounds good, but it doesn't look good necessarily on the shirt. And I'm going to share with you two more items. You know, everyone likes to buy little gifts. And, you may need a wallet, new wallet. You know, sometimes
full of cash would be nice.
Well, I love cash part. But they do have a bacon wallet. It looks just like bacon. Something I'm sure someone would love to stash. I mean, can you believe this? They're selling this stuff. And of course, you can get a cheesy tie. Looks like
that goes along with the pizza shirt.
To go along with the pizza shirt. So we'll make these available for you if you want to take a look at these. We'll try. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah, be sure and shop there.
But things to just make you go, almost like that and the, Saint sweatshirt, but we'll.
Right.
Well, guys, I don't know if you knew this, but just yesterday, Zig Ziglar passed away.
That's right.
So sad. Zig Ziglar was 86 years old, and for those who don't know Zig Ziglar, I mean, my goodness, this gentleman, Zig Ziglar.
All right.
Is known, or was and still is, I guess, known as the world's most popular motivational speaker.
Hmm.
And my goodness, I mean, this guy, this band had a really just amazing career and legacy. Many people are writing about him. In fact, Pastor Tony Evans wrote that we have lost a giant. We have lost a giant of the faith who was able to connect kingdom principles with professional life in a way that brought excellence, integrity, and productivity to the workplace in the name of Jesus Christ.
Awesome.
How awesome is that?
That's powerful.
It's one of the things about Zig Ziglar is that he was a great motivational speaker. And he had this unique accent, Southern draw, but he had this unique voice. It was amazing.
Yeah, you wouldn't mistake him for anybody else.
Oh, you wouldn't mistake him for anyone else. And a lot of things you say were profound, but it was just simple kind of common sense stuff that you knew, but he had such a way in delivering it and sharing it. It was just so powerful. And what I've always loved about Zig Ziglar is that, he was a professional salesperson. Mm-hmm. And he was a person that loved the Lord. He had an authentic relationship with God, and he always integrated his walk with a lot of, with, you know, his walk with God, with everything that he spoke about motivation. And people would say, you know, well, you know, motivation, that's not lasting. You got to keep getting motivated. And he would often say, mm-hmm. it's kind of like taking a bath. You know, you take a bath once, you stop taking a bath, you got to keep taking a bath.
This is true.
And I've had the chance to hear a lot of his audios, and as well as read several of his books. In fact, I'm got a book in my hand called Zig Ziglar Selling 101. And one of the things right from the very beginning, he dedicates this book. Listen to this. He dedicates this book. By the way, he's written 25 books in his life. Dedicated to all enthusiastic and honorable sales professionals who sell goods and products or services that benefit others. Mm-hmm. And right before he gets into, you know, the main part of the book, he starts talking about integrity. Mm-hmm. And this is like the foreword. And he says some things, and he says, the importance of integrity in building a sales career. With integrity, you do the right thing. That eliminates any guilt. With integrity, you have nothing to fear because you have nothing to hide. Now, with fear and guilt removed, you have the freedom to be the person God created you to be. I say this because we are trained to persuade. A salesperson without integrity is inclined to overstate the benefits and persuade people to buy overpriced products they neither need nor really want. Selling with integrity is the only way you can build a long-term career with the same company, selling the same product to the same people, which brings sales stability and financial security. And of course, he's talking about the Bible, right? I mean, and the Lord, right in the beginning, the content. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just you know, it goes on to say, you know, if you read your Bible, he's saying, you know,
right.
And I appreciated this because I, you know, I was in sales for many, many years, and when I came to the Lord, it's actually when I really started my sales career, and mm-hmm. I wanted to sell things, products. You know, with integrity and a way to honor the Lord. And it was just very encouraging. Many hours in the vehicle.
Yeah.
Many hours in the vehicle.
Remember them days?
Ooh, do I? Do I? We got to think about it. Selling is such a, you know, if you've never been in sales before, it's a very challenging profession. It really does test you in so many ways. It tests your faith.
Yeah, it takes a special individual.
Excuse me?
It takes a special individual for sure.
Well, it takes a graced individual. I mean, I'm telling you, you can do it. There's a lot of people that do it wrong, but but I also want to say that there's a lot of people that do it right. And for many people, sometimes they think of a salesperson and they think, you know, oh, you know, you hear used cars and all that. And man, nothing in this country would move without a professional salesperson. I mean, they say that's true. Sugar on the person's coffee table moves three times before it even gets to the grocery store, sells three times. And everybody's really selling. Every person sells. You say, oh, I don't sell. I don't believe in sales. Well, how'd you get that interview? How'd you do an interview? What did you do? Did you sell yourself there?
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Everyone's selling. But what I like about Zig and other professionals like him is that he really taught about integrity, doing the right thing, honoring God. And it was great. I mean, it's great. You know, we had a chance to meet Zig.
Right. I didn't actually meet him, but I went and saw him speak one time.
Oh, we were together. We saw him. Right. I actually met him.
You got to meet him.
Yeah, I got to meet him. Definitely wanted to meet him. But what was cool, you know, we're in this civic center with thousands of people there. Mm-hmm. And you know, it costs like people have paid as low as $49 to go to one of his seminars, which is his seminars was called Born to Win. Mm-hmm. And you pay $65 or $45 or $1,500, just depending where, just to go.
Wow.
Yeah, to listen to him. And he has countless of audio tapes. And when I met him, I thought it was striking. I wanted to shake his hand because I'm thinking, you know, Zig, I spent a lot of long nights and a lot of car rides with him. He's the one that coined the phrase automobile university, by the way.
Oh, really?
You heard of that. That's interesting. He used to say that you spend X amount of time in your automobile, in your car. We don't call them automobiles anymore, but in your cars.
Right.
And you should use that time to educate yourself and learn and grow. And so he obviously offered his tapes. This is equivalent to getting a degree. You calculate all the time. He did this calculation for you, whatever, many hours you'd spend in a car and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a chance to tell him that, and he was thankful. You know, we were talking, and somehow we just started. I mentioned something about the Lord, and he says, "You're a believer." And he started talking about Jesus, and we just start talking about the Lord, and we stopped talking about business and everything else. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, and that's so cool.
That's cool.
And really, really neat. But I want to encourage just everyone, if you didn't ever listen, we're gonna play maybe a little segment here in a little while, in a minute or two. You can hear Zig for yourself. He has one of those unique voices. It's a great thing about audio, great thing about VFN radio, is if you miss a program, if you miss a segment, you can always go to Torch and be encouraged, continually encouraged by something that was shared before.
Yeah, there was something that I remember from that time we went, and it was stuck in my mind ever since. When he was making a certain point, he would always get down on one knee, almost like eye level with the people. You remember that?
Yeah.
He would do it continually. I'm like, what is he doing? Mm. He's just a humble guy, man. It was just amazing. That just blew me away. That stuck with me more than anything he said, just the way he got down his knee like that when he was talking.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
He's really, really humble. In fact, you know, he liked to practice what he preached. That's a good thing. He's married 65 years.
Oh, wow.
65 years.
Wow.
He used to call his wife the redhead. Have you ever heard any of his called my redhead?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that.
And or sugar baby, you can call it sugar baby. only Zig.
That's right.
But he's going to be missed. But you can always listen to him. Some of the things he used to have these sayings, these quotes. They used to call them Ziglets. If you're going to have to swallow a frog, he said in a southern drawl, you don't want to have to look at the sucker too long. So one of the things he'd say is you can get everything in life you want if you would just help other people get what they want. Mm. Now, I got to tell you something about that quote because, you know, I've done a lot of different sales throughout my career. I've sold security systems. I've sold websites. I want to tell you a story about that in a minute. Remind me to tell you about that.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, I sold websites. And I spent several years in the insurance business, and no matter where my sales career took me, I would always run into, I mean, anyone's ever been in sales. I mean, Zig Ziglar's just the name, the one. Everyone has a Zig Ziglar book. Everyone has an audio tape. I mean, it's just like very first thing. Have you heard about Zig Ziglar? It's the first thing they tell. And I used to hear that quote from Zig so often by so many great managers that I have had the chance to work with and other people. Mm-hmm. And it's just really great to know that it's the power of words, and that people were willing to say, hey, you know, we're going to help you out. If you help enough people get what they want in life, you know, it just comes around full circle.
Right.
And sales, you're solving many, you know, you're providing solutions to a lot of problems that people have. And so you kind of helping them out. But he had a lot of these little Ziglets and sayings, which is really cool. But I remember a time when I, like late 90s, when the internet was like just really
getting started,
but starting to really take off, really starting to, and it was just brand, it was like the Wild Wild West, man. It was like, you know, I could imagine how they felt when people hit gold, you know?
Right.
This internet, unbelievable. I mean, this is when Yahoo was just like huge and big now, but they were just like colossal at that time. They were the name, you know? And most people didn't have websites. I mean, this is when you still had dial-up. I mean, you had to connect your phone.
Oh, yeah, it took forever.
I'll send the picture. You should get it. Tomorrow sometime, you know, or forever to hook up.
You click a link and walk away, go drink a cup of coffee, come back. And it may be up.
I tell my sons that. They're like, really? I'm like, yes. The internet was not the way it is today.
It was
not
at all.
Well, I had the task. I just, you know, was just getting ready to get married to Teresa. And I said, man, I got to pay for a wedding. I better get busy.
Oh, yeah.
I better get busy.
Yeah.
So I got hired up this company to sell websites. Brand new in my, you know, professional sales career. I'm wearing a tie and, you know, shoes for the first time and all this type of stuff. And
you never wore shoes before?
Well, dress shoes. Oh. You know, to shine them up and, you know, because you're in sales. You're doing the whole, you know, thing. At least that's what they told me, you know.
Yeah, right.
So So I'm all geared up and dressed up, and oh my goodness, I can't tell you. I used to listen to Zig all night, all day, and get out there. But funny stories, I'd have to go and sell these websites when companies didn't even, I mean, now you talk to a company, every company has a Facebook, and every company has a simple web page.
Right. Something out there.
I was trying to convince people that they were going to do business on the website. Mm. And I said, what? No one's going to buy, you know, and just talking about this great opportunity, and you want to be the first in your community to have a website. Mm-hmm. Like, a website? I just check email. That's when you used to get free, remember those emails, Juno emails?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know,
that was the big thing. And I would have to go with a big, big, like, presentation paper. Okay, I should carry all of this stuff. I'm telling you, you got to empathize with salespeople out there. We have a rule in our home. Anyone that knocks on our door, we will listen to every pitch that someone has to say.
Oh, wow.
Even if we're not interested, we'll just say, thank you very much. We appreciate you coming out there. I'm not interested. And that's one of the great things you can say to someone, because people out there are earning, working hard, their income. They knock on your door and offering your product. At least give them a chance. Listen to them, but leave them with encouragement. You know, so many people would slam the door and just do all kind of rude stuff, thinking, you know, if you do this, I might have to go to my old job and take, you know. But anyhow.
Right.
So I'd have to cut out pictures in a magazine and create this thing with glue sticks. I mean, it was Oh, yeah, there was a way to do it and everything. And so I remember going to this one appointment that I had, and it was hilarious because, you know, when you're first starting out, you know, at least for me, I was in my young early 20s, you know, I'm thinking, okay, I got to get out this car. I drive around to build the appointment once. I drive around the appointment twice.
You would do that for real?
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, wow.
Well, you get enough doors slammed in your face and just, you got to think about it. You're 20 years old. You're trying to, you're going into this ultra expensive store. I went to this jewelry store, privately owned, you know, and this is a successful person that's in front of you, you know, a business owner. And, you know, what did I didn't know anything. So, can you buy a website? You know,
oh, wow.
But one guy was very rude to me, but you learn. And I did learn, and I thank God, because it was a great career that I, you know, wound up learning. But a lot of the stuff that I did learn was through Zig Ziglar, and I still have a lot of his just tips and things that I've been able to pass down. And one thing that I learned from him that I still use today is one of the most powerful things that I use in planning strategy and just different, you know, project management type stuff. But pretty amazing. But I wanted you to listen to Zig, and I wanted you to hear just a couple minutes of how he communicated and talked to people, and this is a segment I'm trying to find it here for you. It's a segment called Attitude Makes the Difference. We're just going to hear a few minutes, but you can hear how he had a great way of telling stories. Listen up.
A number of years ago, Larry Majors, my executive assistant, got a phone call from a lady in Birmingham, Alabama. At the end of the conversation, she said, Zig, she said, I believe this woman thinks she's got an impossible problem, but I believe you can solve that problem with her in just a few minutes if you will spend that time with her. I said, well, Larry, tell her to meet me backstage. I'll get there about 10 minutes early. My schedule was such that was about all I had. Well, I got there, and I was on backstage behind the curtain on one side. She spotted me from the other side, and as she walked across the stage, I have never seen as much anger in a human being in my life as I saw in her. She almost started crying when she saw me. She said, oh, I'm just so glad to see you. I got this horrible job. I hate it. I hate everything about it. I hate everybody down there. I mean, you talking about negative nails, she was it. She said, can you help me? Now, understand, I've only got about 10 minutes. So I looked at her, and one thing I have learned, I don't do counseling, but I talk with a lot of people who do, in psychology, psychiatry, and the ministry. And they tell me that everybody who comes to you with a problem are not necessarily looking for a solution. I couldn't understand that for a long time. Why do they bring you a problem if they don't want to solve it? Well, I can tell you why. They want to tell you about it, you about it, you about it, you about it, and you about it. And if you foul up the deal and solve the problem, they can't tell you again, They want the attention that goes with the problem, and every company just about it has that kind of an individual. They want the attention that goes with griping and complaining. Well, I looked at the lady, and it wasn't unkindly.
Isn't that funny? I mean, it's exactly, this is the common sense stuff that he would share all the time. You're thinking, that is so true. You're driving my hour appointment that I had to go away, and you're listening to this thing and just cracking up.
All right.
But I think it was him, or I think it was Zig, who said, you know, someone was complaining and came to a problem, and he says, the guy gives him an answer and he walks away. The guy says, why did you tell him that? Why did you say that to him? So the guy looks at him and says, listen, I've learned a long time ago, I never give real answers when people are only looking for echoes. It's like,
that's good.
It's just so true. You're just like, you gotta know. Get and listen up.
But firmly I said to her, yes, and you know, ma'am, I'm afraid your problem is about to get worse. She said, what do you mean? I said, I believe they're gonna fire you. She was stunned. I couldn't have stunned her more if I'd hit her in the face with a bucket of ice water. She said, fire me? Why on earth would they fire me? The inflection in her voice clearly said, they're the bad guys. I'm the good guy. Why don't they fire them and keep me? Have you ever noticed that people who are the problem never recognize that they are? They're in complete denial. They think denial is just a river in Egypt. Why would they fire me? I said, ma'am, I don't believe there's a company in America big enough to contain this much poison in one small spot. Have you ever noticed that when somebody is about to lose something they've been complaining about, whether it's a car, a home, a mate, a job, or whatever, when all of a sudden it appears they're going to lose them, it takes on brand new value. She looked at me and said, well, what can I do? I said, do you really want to know? She said, yes, I do. That's the reason I came to see you. I came looking for help, but you sure haven't been any help so far. I said, well, ma'am, I've got an idea, and I will absolutely guarantee you it positively, definitely, absolutely will work if you will just do it. She said, I'll try anything within reason. I said, okay, when you get home tonight, all of your household tasks are complete. It's bedtime. Get off in a room right by yourself. Get a sheet of paper out, and at the top of it, write, I like my job because. She interrupted me. She said, that'll be easy. I don't like nothing about that job. Don't like nothing about those people down there. And I said, well, just as a matter of curiosity, do you work there for benevolent reasons, or do they pay you for working there? She said, well, I got to confess, they pay me. And I said, and you don't like to be paid? Oh, she said, yes, I do. I said, okay, tell you what you do. Open your notebook right now. We'll start our list of the things you like about your job. They pay you for working there, and you do like it, don't you? She said, absolutely. But she just stood there. I said, no, open your notebook now, and we'll get busy on the list. She just stood there. I said, ma'am, let me tell you what my experience in life has been. I've discovered that in 100% of the cases, no exceptions, people who won't take step number one never take step number two. You see, she had come to me with an impossible dream. Her dream was that nice Mr. Ziegler was going to solve all of her problems and she would live happily ever after. Well, folks, I got news for you. I can't solve her problems. I can't solve your problems. But I will give you some steps that I'll absolutely, definitely, and positively will work for you, as it worked eventually for her. I said, well, ma'am, let me tell you something. Unless you're willing to take step number one right now, it's been nice talking with you. She angrily opened her notebook. Before we got through, there were 22 things she liked about her job. Not only did they pay her for working there, they paid her above average. She had 3 weeks vacation with pay. She had a retirement program. She was in on profit sharing. She had health insurance.
Wasn't it great?
Yeah.
I mean,
amazing.
This is the type of stuff that Zig would share over and over and over again. And it's so good. It's common sense things, but you kind of needed to hear it over and over again. And one of the things he tells her at the end of this, he says, and we'll see if we can make this available for you on the torch. But he goes and says, And I stand in the mirror, stand in front of the mirror, and I want you to say this 20 times. Something like that. I want you to say this over and over again. And, yeah, his thing was motivation. Mm-hmm. But it was great, great seeing him. But, you know, you're talking about Zig, and you're talking about people selling, and you're talking about businesses. I mean, this is what a lot of – this is – you know, around the country, so many people have been inspired by this man, a lot of business owners. And, you know, we're talking about, and we're transitioning here into in God's news behind the news. We're, you know, this fiscal cliff, we've been talking about it for the last couple of days, last couple of weeks. And there's people out there that are motivated. There's people out there that are starting businesses. There are people out there that are earning these incomes to employ other people. And what you're looking at is a chance now that taxing the upper income, you know, people that are in excess of $250,000, I believe, more. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people are saying that this is going to, if this goes through, I mean, their Congress is working with the president, and this, I don't know how many more days left. I think about about a month left, maybe, so around about 30 some odd days, mm-hmm. you know, before they can come to a resolution. But many feel that taxing the rich more is not going to solve the problem, not going to solve the issue. And I was looking at something here that happened in Great Britain, something that happened with the British. And this was reported on the Daily Caller, but they're saying that UK millionaires flee country over tax hikes. British Treasury loses billions. Oh, listen to this now. It says, shortly after the United Kingdom's latest big tax hike, Britain's millionaires started voting with their feet. And as a result, the British Treasury has gone low. Mm. Listen to this. Raising the country's top income tax to 50% has cost the UK £7 billion.
Oh, wow.
About $11.2 billion since 2010. According to the London Daily Telegraph newspaper, wealthy taxpayers have intentionally worked less, deferred income to future years, and moved their earnings overseas or left the country entirely.
Wow.
Think about that.
Amazing.
I mean, this is serious. You think you're going to get more money because you raise the taxes? Well, these people are going to say, you know what? We'll just move our money somewhere else.
That's right.
And they said that the tax paid by these top earners fell from £13.4 billion before the top tax rate came into effect to £6.5 billion. That amount of money just almost like half.
Wow.
That they received. And so, this person who's writing this is warning basically Americans, saying, listen, look what happened to Britain. You know, look, we can get wisdom by looking at what other countries have done. And, you know, either way, you know, when you look at all this, I mean, there is a solution that has to come. They have to balance this. They need to come to a place where they can agree and work all of this out. But for the believer, we need to know that, listen, we are participating in kingdom economy. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at all this, the fiscal cliff, and you're getting all worried and concerned and all, listen, we need to pray for situations. Yes, you know, we need to pray for wisdom. But at the same time, we can have faith and confidence in knowing that if I'm honoring the Lord, if I'm doing what God has called me to do,
that's right.
If I'm not keeping anything that belongs to God, you know, in essence, stealing from Him, the tithe, the offerings, what God is requiring of me, I'm blessed. I'm favored. God's going to take care of us. But you know, prophetically speaking, you know, we have heard before that America is from many prophets, but America's headed for some very, very serious, difficult financial times.
That's right.
And the thing, as a believer, when we're talking to the church, is that, you know what, you can't ride this a roller coaster wave. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll never forget this. One sales job, I had a manager, and he told, it was a major transition going on in the insurance business, and they were going to offer me a promotion to take another agency, and he was going to think of doing something else with him. And what happened was, it was a huge decision, and the Lord spoke to me that night in in Romans. I was just reading my Bible and praying, God, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? And this was a major decision, and I just wanted to honor the Lord and just do the right thing. But, you know, when you do the right thing, you don't want to make your decisions always based upon money. You just want to base your decisions upon what God's calling you to do. Mm-hmm. What is God asking you to do? And so God spoke to me out of Romans, and it was like a now, you know, a now word.
Right.
And I went in the next day and shared it with him. And I said, listen, you know, I'm feeling like I'm not supposed to take this promotion. I'm not supposed to, you know, do this. Mm-hmm. And he told me, look, I'm going to take mine. But this is the word that God told me. It says Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I mean, it just jumped off. Mm. Thinking, wow, may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him.
Mm.
As you trust in him. I think a lot of times, you know, when we have no joy and no peace in our life, we got to go look at it and say, wait a minute, where's my peace? Who stole my peace? Who stole my joy?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times our peace is stolen because we're trying to put our trust and our faith in something else instead of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord was reminding me, you put your trust in me, son. You trust in me, and I'm going to give you joy. I'm going to give you peace. And in fact, you're going to overflow with hope.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went in and spoke to him, and he was a believer, told him that, and he says, man, I'm putting all my chips in this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put all my chips in this. It wasn't even, I don't think, 6 months before he wound up losing his job. I mean, just everything just started crumbling around him.
Right.
And it was really sad. You know, we don't want to be like, we don't want to put all of our chips in a job or in an economy or in what man's strategy is doing. We need to have all of our faith and all of our trust in the Lord.
Right.
We need to trust him, because let me tell you something. God is the one that's going to guide us through every single step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Every step of the way. I know there's many a times we could share testimony upon testimony of where God made a way where there was no way. So no matter what you hear in the news and what's being shared, remember that if you're doing what God's asked you to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm continually reminded of Joseph and how he was able to have provision during a time of great famine.
Right.
Who knows? Maybe you may be the next Joseph.
Right.
But we have to be right with God. We need to be doing the right thing with him.
Right.
We'll be right back.
I want to talk to you just for a quick moment here. You may be at the end of your religious road. You may have done everything religious that you could think of. I mean, you may have sung in choirs. You may have had perfect, quote, church attendance, unquote. You may have got real close to those who are in ministry. You may have done all these things, but yet you're empty. You've found yourself, you know, seeking and running after what you perceive to be right, but you are running after things, man, and not God. Listen, that's a seek that God's put inside of you. That's a seek that God's put inside of you. He's put that inside of you. And what it is, you were seeking after him in the wrong places. Listen, he is after you. And the fact that you've done that means you're after him. But you just got to get on the right road. You just got to get off the religious road and get on the relationship road. You got to meet God. The whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. And God loves you. God has a plan for your life, but you've got to meet him. You meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus made a way for you to be in relationship with the creator of the universe. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about a joyful walk in the Lord. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. There is nothing, I meant nothing, Pat,
mm-hmm.
worse than man's religion. Yeah. You know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God, which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk to you.
Right.
You know, and people want, they want this, but sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this, you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something, you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you. Mm-hmm. You can write your own devotional. Listen, just try it for 6 weeks. Just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin. Because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit. Mm-hmm. You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time in a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you. Mm-hmm. You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org. I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham, when he began to work and do what was going on, he would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just, for $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. If you're just joining us after the break, oh my goodness, we had a great time just talking and remembering about Zig Ziglar. If you're just tuning in, Zig Ziglar, known as the world's greatest motivational speaker and sales trainer, just passed away yesterday, 86, to be with the Lord. He was just an awesome believer, man of God. Had integrity, taught integrity in his techniques and principles that he shared with millions. Amazing. And it was just great, just honoring him and his work. And that was his ministry was in the workplace. Talking about workplace ministry, I mean, his ministry was in the workplace, and he shared Jesus everywhere he went. In fact, when I met him, Pat, he even had little things on his on his lapel. I think he had a cross or something else on there, but he's just really open about his faith and who the Lord was in his life. And on all of his writings, he didn't, you know, miss an opportunity to share something about the Lord. I thought it was pretty pretty awesome. Yeah, pretty awesome. Well, also we talked about a little bit about the fiscal cliff and about where we need to put our trust.
That's right.
And we can learn some wisdom from other countries. It's amazing. It's amazing how much wisdom you can learn just by watching and
borrow
observing.
The experience, right?
You know what I'm saying? You can learn a whole lot of wisdom, and we're all always trying to get more and more. But you know, we're seeing just things change in America. We're seeing things change, and the verdict is out. If it's gonna, you know, right now it seems like it's been changing for the worse.
Right.
But we're believing for a third great awakening, and we're believing for God to move powerfully in our nation. But we're also looking to defend our Constitution. We're looking for ways to honor what God, through his providence, allowed us to have. And it's this document that's kept us from not doing stuff like what's happening out there in Egypt today, where, you know, the president who's elected decides that he's going to be the dictator.
He's going to be Pharaoh.
Excuse me? You know?
Is that what we elected?
Yeah, I think they're still trying to draft the constitutions. Like, I think that you could, you know, maybe borrow ours as a framework. You know what I mean? Not, but, you know.
Right.
Think about it. Think about it. And every elected official, you know, from the president to Congress to our judges, swear to defend the Constitution.
Right.
And Chris, my goodness. Anyway, so what's happening here, what's happening in all this, is that it's important that we know about the Constitution.
Right.
And what we need to do. And so one of the things I want to share with you was an article that just came out by Judge Napolitano. Trying to get that name out. Judge Napolitano. And he shared this article, which I thought was just awesome. Mm-hmm. But it called What Happened to the Right to be Left Alone? What happened to the right to be left alone? And we're talking about the Fourth Amendment. Fourth Amendment. The Fourth Amendment is so powerful. As you may or may not know, Pat and I are on a VFN radio game show, okay? This game show is about the U.S. citizenship test that people that want to become citizens of the United States have to take.
Right.
And they have to pass it in order to become eligible to become a citizen.
Right.
And it's 100 questions to prepare. And Pat and I have been, we've had two rounds of answering questions.
And I'm undefeated right now.
You know,
he does keep putting that out there, don't he, John?
Well,
and I have not been deported.
We have not gone to the self-deportation. we have not gone to the wisdom moment for the day, so let's...
Okay.
But anyway, yes, he is doing very good. He said, I got softball questions the first day.
He did.
We're in round two. We're in round two. And tune in. See how we're going to do. In fact, I think tomorrow will be the game show is on. So
it's back
please
on,
go
man.
Google up. Please, come
I'm
fresh
good.
And see how much you know.
This is all my revelation.
So we're taking the time to being educated. Being educated on the Constitution. What does it mean? And how important it is. Well, in this article, he talks about, you know, why the Constitution, how it came about, and the framers who wrote the Constitution, and why they actually put in the Fourth Amendment, because they suffered under the hands of the British king and the soldiers. It's just not, you know, these amendments are not just a good idea. You know what I'm saying? The Bill of Rights are not just a good idea.
Right.
It's because people suffered and they said, we need to do something about this. We need to make sure that we have a government that it's going to protect us. And what was going on is that the King George at the time of Britain was looking for ways to get revenue from the colonists, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he according to the judge, he devised a Stamp Act. And basically it was some legislation that required that every piece of paper in the home of every colonist, it's just a stamp, they had to have this stamp that must have, the stamp had to appear on everything that was purchased. Okay, everything that was purchased by the government, you have to have the stamp on it.
Mm-hmm.
This is like books, letters, financial legal documents, even pamphlets to be distributed and posters nailed to the tree
have
the stamp, you know?
Right.
So it shows that you paid this tax.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the questions he says, like, well, how did the king, who was 3,000 miles away in Great Britain, knew if there was a stamp on a book or something that you, how do you know if you paid for that stamp? Well, he says that what they did was that they had legislation that permitted the British soldiers to write their own search warrant in which they authorized themselves to enter the homes of the colonies and look for these stamps. So they just wrote their own, you know, search warrant. Oh, we're going to come into your house. We're going to open the door. We're going to, you know, you don't have a stamp. What? You bought that on Amazon? Where's that? Let me see.
You got a receipt for that?
You have a digital stamp on that iPad? let me see that. Let me see that. So obviously this was unpopular. The people basically, you know, upon many other things, you know. But obviously this is something that they didn't forget after the Revolutionary War. They didn't forget about this.
Mm-hmm.
So the Fourth Amendment requires that only judges could issue search warrants. Only judges, okay? And they would only do so if the government, you know, they presented enough evidence that a crime was about, you know, about the person. They had evidence of a crime about the person, right, or place that you need to be searched. There's specific language that requires a search warrant, okay?
Right.
But what happened was, this was pretty good, but remember we talked in previous segments about the Electronic Communications Act of 1986, right? This act, I mean, this is like a serious deal because it was supposed to protect the privacy, but it actually did the complete opposite. It doesn't protect your privacy. And it had to do with digitally stored information. It had to do with digitally stored information. And what happens is that all your emails, all of your digital data, okay, basically emails that are less than 180 years old, they have 180 days, they have to get a search warrant. But anything that's over 180 days, they don't have to get a search warrant for. This is unconstitutional. We shared about this. Why this is important? Because today, today, the Senate is meeting and they're examining a set of proposals, according to the judge, right? Senate proposals, which could have profound implications, he says, on our privacy. One proposal will allow federal agents to seize all digital data, even mere computer keystrokes, as they're being executed, as you're typing, without a search warrant. And the alternate proposal will protect all digital data from government seizure by requiring search warrants as a precondition for seizing any of it. Hello, this should be a no-brainer. This should be something that is very simple. I am glad that the Senate's actually looking at this. But listen, if we don't have protection, I mean, listen, we can go back. We can go back to the way it was.
That's right.
The Fourth Amendment is the right of the people to secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures, and shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued upon probable cause supported by the oath, affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at BFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at BFNTV.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those that are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.